Set your course for the Huff
Takes Podcast.
Welcome to Hoth Takes. I'm Eric Geller.
I'm Grace Seegers.
And I'm Haley Birdwilt.
And in this episode, we're discussing Disney's Star Wars theme park experiences. Folks have probably by now seen the news that Disney is shutting down the Galactic Star Cruiser, their big, expensive Star Wars hotel. We don't know exactly why they're shutting it down, but it seems like it just was not profitable enough for them. So if folks have not really heard about this hotel or what it's like to be there, I recommend going back and listening to the episode where Grace and Haley interviewed me about staying at the Star Wars hotel. It was a lot of fun, but I can definitely understand why it did not work out as a concept. But we're here today to talk about what should Disney do with that space next? They're going to have this huge building. It's going to be empty. They're going to be taking out the guest rooms. They're going to be taking out the restaurant and the bar. They got to do something with this space. And it just so happens to be right next to the edge of the Star Wars theme park that they've already built, Galaxy's Edge. So what we thought we'd do in this episode is pitch a few ideas to the Walt Disney Company. Bob Iger, if you're listening, please pay attention. This is what we think Disney should do with the currently Galactic Star Cruiser, but soon to be vacant space near Galaxy's Edge. And I'll just go first. I spent perhaps an embarrassing amount of time refining this pitch because, frankly, I'm very proud of this pitch. And let me lay it out for you, and then what we can discuss, and I'm sure you'll have some questions. So my pitch is for essentially a sit-down restaurant, which they don't currently have in Galaxy's Edge, where, you know, it's like table service. Moderately priced, and the thing about this restaurant is it's not just a restaurant. You have the option to either go in and just, you know, you make a reservation, you just eat, or you eat your meal, and then you get swept up in a thrilling Star Wars adventure, an interactive experience expanding on the story of Black Spire Outpost, which is the setting for Galaxy's Edge. So basically, there's a character already at Galaxy's Edge whose name is Vi Marati. She's a Resistance spy. And my idea is the story revolves around her sneaking into the restaurant. She goes into the kitchen. She's going to meet with a source who's got information about the First Order. And if you choose to participate in this experience, you know, instead of just dining at the restaurant, you get put at a special table near the sort of the quote-unquote kitchen, not like the real kitchen, but part of the experience. And there's going to be some kind of plot device that, after you've had time to eat your meal, you basically get roped into helping Vi find her source in the kitchen, have, you know, the conversation or whatever. You get some intel about the First Order. Then you got to sneak out the back of the restaurant because the First Order has shown up. And then you've got to evade the stormtroopers as they're chasing after you. And once you get away, once the coast is clear, Vi escapes back into town with the data, and you basically use a secret passageway to get back to your table in the restaurant, and nobody else inside is any the wiser. Now, if you purchase a regular table, because we still want to make this fun for the regular folks, you know, you will get to see and hear some of the indications of what's taking place on this adventure from where you're sitting. And there's going to be a First Order squad that comes in, and they interrogate people at tables, that so randomly selected tables. They ask them, hey, we're looking for this Resistance spy. Have you seen her? And they show her picture, and obviously nobody wants to help the First Order. And then at the end of the meal, they come back, and they go around to other tables, and they ask people, hey, we've spotted these folks who helped the Resistance spy escape. Have you seen them? And they hold up pictures, because they've captured, you know, the images of these people on the security cameras. And so they hold up these iPads or whatever, and these would be actual photos of the people who did the experience, and they were taken, you know, through, you know, Disney has cameras everywhere, taken during the course of the activity and turned into, like, hologram, like, wanted posters. And it would be a way to make the regular diners feel included without forcing them to do a lot of improv, which was a problem with Galactic Star Cruiser. It's not quite as much fun if you don't want to participate. And it would also be kind of a subtle way of encouraging them to consider paying for this experience the next time they go. And of course, the food would be incredible, and you would want to go back multiple times, and there'd be, like, decorations inside. And so that's the other thing, is that the people who pay extra for this experience, they get seated earlier than everyone else. So they have time to have a full meal, but also maybe walk around, take pictures of the decorations. And if you've ever been to Galaxy's Edge, Doc Ondar's shop, you know, is full of Easter egg props and stuff like that. There would be that there too. And then they sit, you know, they get roped into the adventure. And maybe at the end they get some resistance swag from Vi Marati and maybe some other little tokens they collect in the kitchen or whatever. It's just a way to make it like, hey, I did something cool that other people didn't, which is obviously a huge part of Disney. And, you know, you'd probably have like two or three like seatings at the restaurant or sort of runs of the experience every night so that there's time to have the staggered arrivals for the regular diners and the special diners. And there's also time to completely reset the restaurant in between like sessions or whatever. So that's my pitch, right? It's a restaurant, it's a sit-down restaurant. Galaxy's Edge doesn't have it, but it also incorporates the adventure and tries to balance it out so that the people who are not participating can still have some Star Wars fun. So if anybody's got any questions, fire away. This is like, I feel like I'm on Shark Tank. I would love to know what you think.
What kind of food will be at the restaurant?
Oh, Haley, I honestly hadn't thought that far ahead. I mean, you know, it's...
That's the most important part.
Well, Black Spire Outpost is a frontier town. People pass through on their way to, you know, other parts of the Outer Rim. It could be a very diverse cuisine from people bringing things there and then either staying and making it or just leaving after handing it off to the chefs. And so, you know, it could be a fusion of different cuisines. And that could be a chance for... You know, that right now the Star Wars food that they have is very much like, this is this thing from Felucia, you know, the blue shrimp that people probably saw from the Star Cruiser, right? This could be a chance for them to do fusion cuisines. So not just here's this thing that's from this planet, but here's the thing that incorporates elements of different planets, building on the idea that people have come to Batuu, the planet, and shared their ideas. And this restaurant, the whole theme is we're going to blend it all together. So I guess I had thought about it a little bit.
But... the biggest, like, demand from me, if I'm gonna eat at the restaurant, is the blue Force Awakens bread. Like, oh, yeah, like, authentic. It puffs up when you get it. I don't know how they would invent the bread, but no expense should be spared in recreating the bread, I think.
Yeah, I like the idea of it not just being American food, but blue. Let's branch out here, people, and... Disney's got the money. What are they using those billions of dollars from all the Avengers movies for? Let's hire some good chefs. I had a question, Eric, very logistical. So for the people doing the full experience, would they make a reservation ahead of time explicitly saying, I would like to do this experience?
Oh, absolutely, yes, because again, you don't want people who aren't interested in the improv to have to do improv. So you would, on the website, you would book, you know, it's almost like, you know, there are 5 first class tickets left on this plane, right? So, you know, you would see, you know, there's 20 seats left for the experience version of this, you know, 7 p.m. seating or whatever. And yeah, you would explicitly choose, I want to do the experience, and you'd maybe pay a little extra or something.
So my next question, I guess... it would be assuming that someone has this trip already planned out far in advance and then while they were on their trip say, hey, we should go to the Star Wars restaurant and then make the reservations like several months in advance. Because my worry would be that, you know, there are so many people who might be interested in this experience, but it may not be super accessible. So I guess... How do you make it accessible?
That is a great question. And, you know, sit-down dining at Disney, especially the top-tier restaurants, it's already hard to get a reservation there, like, just unless you book several months in advance. So, like, that element of it, the idea of, like, if I only book a week in advance, if I book my trip 2 weeks in advance or whatever, what experiences do I get to participate in? It's not like this would be one of the few that's locked off. This would be one of a healthy number that you would be too late to participate in. So in that sense, it would not be unusual for it to be inaccessible to somebody who books on short notice. However, I think that you're right that if, you know, the majority of the people who are doing the experience are folks who bought those reservations when they bought their tickets, you know, 6 months in advance, that does mean that there's a pattern to the types of people who get to do it. And the more casual Disney park goers, or perhaps even the more casual Star Wars fans, they miss out. My only real suggestion or hope is that after an initial wave of like the hardcore people who book far in advance wanting to do this because it's new, that will subside and things will even out and these showings won't be completely full day in and day out. Or if they are, it's, you know, the proportion of people who are booking 2 weeks in advance starts to increase relative to the proportion of people who book 6 months in advance. I mean, if you think about the best restaurants at Disney right now, it's not like all of those seatings are taken up by people who book 6 months in advance, right? A lot of those diners were still able to get a seat, you know, a few weeks before their trip because those are not like the hot new restaurant that is full of like annual pass holders or whatever. So like over time, I'm thinking it's gonna smooth out a little bit.
Eric, how big is the building?
Do you want me to look up the dimensions of this building? I mean, it's big. Like it could easily fit a decently sized restaurant plus like the fake backstage kitchen area for the experience, I think, anyway.
Do you think it could fit more than one restaurant?
Oh, I doubt it, just because there would need to be actual food prep kitchens on site, which like that's a huge carve out of space. So I don't know that it could do two, but why? What were you thinking?
Oh, I was just thinking, like, if you do two, then you can, like, do more of the showings each day.
Oh, simultaneously, because you could have... That's interesting, yeah, sort of like what they do with the Millennium Falcon ride, where there's multiple cockpits that are going at the same time. That's interesting. I guess it could be a... So one thing to consider is that there are multiple floors in this building, and so you could just have the same layout duplicated across multiple floors. That would be a possibility. The only problem is, in my envisioning of this, at the end of it, you sort of end up outside and Vi Marati kind of runs away. So that would really only work if you're on ground level. Otherwise, the upper floor people, there'd have to be a modification in the story so that you go downstairs, which I guess is not the hardest thing in the world, but you would want to do it in a way where you don't have those guests see the guests who are on the ground level, right? Like you'd maybe do it on opposite sides of the building or something. Not insurmountable problems. I like that, Haley. Good addition. I like that.
It seems, honestly, this seems, and I realize that most Disney like experiences are probably the same level of logistics, but this seems like a lot of work to pull off. I don't know.
I was just inspired by Haley's suggestion too. So if you made it more of a food hall-ish experience where on the first floor you have this one restaurant and this very specific experience, but then maybe on the second floor there's a bar for the adults and it's like a very Star Wars cantina-y vibe and it's not necessarily related to the story but just doing its own thing, and maybe there's also snacks. So I think if there is enough space to play with, perhaps there could be more, but as Haley is saying, this is already a lot of logistics. But then again, like I said, they got billions. They're making so much money. They could totally do this.
Yeah, I think that it's tricky because like if you think about Rise of the Resistance, which is like probably the most complex ride Disney has ever done, a lot of that is quote unquote on rails, right? You're sitting in the little thing and it's moving around and you're seeing things, right? There's very little where it's you walking around and you actually have to move at a certain speed in order for the events to like sort of move with you, right? I mean, you can imagine a version of what I'm talking about where the guest just like walks in the other direction and like Vi Marati is like, what are you doing? We got to go this way, right? Like that's why certain video games don't let you have free movement, is because they need the story to play out in a guaranteed way. This would be very tricky because it would be entirely guests on foot following a character around, right? And again, there's very little of that in Rise of the Resistance. There's none of it in the Millennium Falcon ride. You're fully in that cockpit. The Galactic Star Cruiser is not one discrete story with a beginning and end, at least not in the way that Rise of the Resistance is. So it doesn't matter. You can walk around because it's an open-ended weekend experience. It's not one discrete activity. So that, to me, is the challenge, is how do you actually make it so guests don't want to just, like, ignore what Vi is saying and just walk in the other direction, right? Like that's like an interesting sort of story brainstorming problem, which I don't know that we can solve here.
Yeah, if only we could just make people do what we wanted them to do, like players in a video game, but alas.
You're starting to sound like Anakin in the Meadow.
Now I can't, of course, remember any of those, his lines, because all I can think of is the meme of Padme in the Meadow.
So you're saying we should subtly encourage them to do what we want without force, right?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, so I'm excited about my idea. I'm going to email bob.iger@disney.com. But before I do that, Grace, I believe you have some ideas for us as well.
Yes. So, Eric, I love your idea. I love how seriously you took the prompt, how thorough your ideas are. When I had the prompt for our conversation today, my brain did not go in a serious direction. My brain went in silly directions, thinking of the most ridiculous uses of space potentially. So I have a bunch of ideas. I think there's something there. I think there are some, Bob Iger, take notes. First of all, there is the Hoth experience, where, you know, how on Hoth they have the rebel base in the ice caves. So just turn it into like an ice cavey type hotel. So I know it was a hotel, but all of my ideas turn it back into a hotel. So turn it into an ice cave hotel. And like in that James Bond movie where the ice palace, like that, like actual ice, and make it super cold to be realistic. And everyone sleeps in sleeping bags that look like tauntauns. And when you unzip them, it's like you're unzipping its stomach and all like the oopy goopy falls out of the sleeping bag. And then you have to snuggle yourself right into it.
That's the technical term. That's the anatomical term.
Yeah, the oopy goopy that falls out of the tauntaun. And I feel like for Star Wars fans craving realism, this is really the way to go. For those who thought, hey, I'd like to hang upside down and fight a Yeti in a cave, let's hang them upside down and have them fight people in a cave dressed up like abominable snowmen. So that's the Hoth experience. Do you have questions or should I get through all of my ideas first?
No, we need to talk about this. I think it's a great idea, first of all, from an environmental angle. I think it's really it's a really good idea to put this in Orlando, Florida.
That's right. That's right.
Secondly, I think it's also a great idea to have people pay to suffer. I think there's just like an endless number of people who are going to sign up. So for me, like almost no notes. I think this is the one they should go with.
Okay, I have a couple questions, but first, I just want to say that I like this. I think that Haley's right that paying to suffer is peak capitalism, and I like that a lot. I guess my first question is, do the beds also smell bad on the inside?
Oh, obviously.
They don't wash
them.
They
smell bad.
Oh, so they don't wash them? Okay, Haley, is that your suggestion that they don't wash them?
No, I was just saying that's an easy way to have them smell bad without investing it.
When you look at a tauntaun, does a tauntaun have its insides washed regularly? No, because its insides are inside. Therefore,
this is hurting me.
I'm definitely seeing some like health and safety violations bubbling up here. But so, speaking of potential safety violations, you mentioned that there are going to be employees, cast members, right? People who presumably are looking forward to working in an immersive Star Wars experience and living out their dreams, who are going to be dressed as Wampas and physically assaulted by paying guests. Again, peak capitalism, love that. Can I just ask, are they even gonna be asked to sign waivers, or is this more of a just like throwing them in and not like telling them what to expect kind of thing? How's that gonna work?
What? That's between Disney and their lawyers. I really don't feel like I have the expertise to comment on that. But the important thing here is that the guests are going to be hanging upside down. So it's not like, you know, the employees are just being beaten. They have to, the guests are going to be hanging upside down.
Oh, wait, but I'm sorry, hold on. Are you saying that they will be...
Sorry.
Are they going to be upside down the whole time? I don't understand. Are you saying that they're are we trapping them in the stalactite
Eric,
tauntaun costume?
Everyone is suffering in this scenario.
But
it's
I don't.
The employees, it's the guests. They're all having a bad time physically.
But are they like do they get to come down to eat, to use the bathroom? I don't understand. I have a lot more questions now. I didn't realize they were trapped up there.
No, this is just in the one room, in the Wampa room.
I mean, obviously you have to sign
experience.
Up.
Oh, I see. So yeah, it's sort of like
you have
a...
to make reservations.
Oh, okay. So this is a premium add-on where you pay to be tortured and then okay. So the Wampa really doesn't have to worry because the person up there has had all the blood flow out of their entire body into
yes,
their head, and
exactly.
maybe we like hold them there for 10 minutes and then the Wampa comes in so that they're good and disoriented so that they can't really do too much damage.
It's like upside down pinata.
Yes, now you're getting it.
The,
I feel like
the one thing
really
I would
vibing.
Add is like after that you have to do the back to tank, like
oh,
a hot
of course.
Tub of some kind.
Is that the hot tub?
Yes. It doesn't go with the rest of it though, because that's like enjoyable.
No, it's not enjoyable. No. It's a hot tub, but it's still a back to tank. So it's like you're being plunged in a hot tub.
Oh, I see. I like the idea of putting a freezing cold hotel in Orlando, but then inside of the freezing cold hotel, putting an artificially heated hot tub. I love it. I think it's great.
Thank you.
I think it's great.
Thank you.
So, I mean, one thing that this will definitely not do is create any new political controversy around the Walt Disney Company and strain no. relations with local authorities. I mean, I think we definitely don't have to worry about any of that whatsoever from this idea.
Well, this does bring me to a mild tangent, a suggestion from my fiance when I brought forward our discussion topic of the evening. And my fiance said Disney should just build a space elevator and build a ride or an event space in space because there are no governors in space. So no one to mess with Disney there. And I think if the Hoth Hotel doesn't work out, that could be a really potential good backup plan.
So, Grace, I'm wondering if you've read the book Red Mars by Kim Stanley Robinson.
I have, but it's been ages.
So, Eric, have you read it?
I have not.
Will you be bothered if I spoil a major plot?
Absolutely not. Go right ahead.
Okay, everyone be warned. You can skip ahead like 30 seconds. In that book, there is a terrifying scene where the space elevator gets, like, the cable gets cut. And, like, the whole planet just, like, suffers. And it just, like, wraps around the planet because of the gravity. And it's, like, killing everyone. And so, no, I don't really want a private corporation to be able to do a space elevator, personally.
Didn't we learn from For All Mankind Season 3 that it's just not a good idea to build a space hotel?
Yes, we did.
Terrible idea.
I did have this thought, yes. But listen, I'm not here to have good ideas. I'm here to have fun ideas. And that does bring me to my second idea for the hotel, the crate experience. This is really more of a subsection of the Hoth experience because it'd be very similar to the Hoth Hotel, only designed like crate from The Last Jedi. But what's really important here is, as we all know, Crate is a salt planet, so there would be specific portions of the floor that would be actual salt, and they would be cordoned off so that if people wanted to taste the salt, if they wanted to lick the floor, they could in fact do so if they so chose. And that's really what's critical about that idea.
I just... I My only addition to this one is the Planet Crate reminds me of Red Velvet, like, cookies or cake.
Oh, yes!
So it should, if we're going to do the crate experience, if we're trying to make it enjoyable, I think it should be the Crate Bakery, and you can eat all kinds of Red Velvet confectionery delights.
Yes, love this. Again, I'm just mostly in the business of suffering, but I do like having a little treat for people at the end.
I like the idea of the Disney company changing its motto to "We're in the business of suffering." Just a real big rebrand starting at the Star Wars park. So my question is this: as everybody knows, while the Resistance was on Crait, when they were eating, in all the time that they had to eat, they would take salt off the ground and put it on their food as a way of seasoning it. That's just true. Don't ask me where that comes from, and don't look it up. Would the food at the Crait experience also be seasoned with salt from the ground that people have, like, walked on or whatever?
So I think that the food would be made so that it's completely flavorless, and it gets sent out to tables, and the patrons can choose how much salt they want to put on it. Obviously, floor salt. Obviously,
this is Kafka-esque.
Yeah,
the patrons have to use, like, a little pickaxe to get the salt off the ground for their meals.
I mean, I was really imagining, like, a blanket of table salt just across the entire facility. But for those who really want a challenge, yeah, we could have a pickaxe salt section.
Oh, a salt mining activity. Oh, and, you know, yeah. Going to the theme of, like, suffering, right? Where it's like, if you yes. mine the most salt, your family gets, like, extra food for the day or something like that. I'm just trying yes. to think of where that idea might have come from.
I love it.
Inspiration, recent inspiration, Star Wars. It's not coming to me. Okay, so I love this idea, Grace, but do you have anything a little bit friendlier?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Then there's the Endor experience. As I put in the notes, three words, Treehouse Hotel. Now I know what you're thinking. Treehouse Hotel. That sounds amazing. And you're right. It would be super cool. But the other important thing about this is that Ewoks are actually terrifying. So there would be a bunch of Ewoks. I haven't really figured out what the Ewoks would be. Would they be actors? Would they be animatronics? I don't know yet. Let's leave that to the Imagineers to figure out my vision. But the Ewoks would, in fact, try to kill people and roast them on spits like they do in the movie. And then you have to convince the Ewoks that you shouldn't die. And you do that by worshiping C-3PO. And you have, like, a service where you are all fawning to him, and then you don't die and you get to have a really lovely, happy, cheerful evening with the Ewoks, and you're all dancing around the fire and just having a generally good time. So
and
that's
you're banging on
experience.
You're banging on helmets, and you're like, who are these helmets look familiar, were these being worn by the guests outside as we were coming in? And the Ewoks just don't say anything.
Yeah, Ewoks don't talk, come on, why would they say anything? And then I'm going to skip the Canto Bight experience because that was just a casino. But my final idea was the Geonosis experience, based on one of my favorite scenes from Attack of the Clones. And this would have everything. So we're talking about gladiatorial fights to the death. That would be in one section. Another section would be set up like the munitions factory on Geonosis, where Padme does a kind of obstacle course. So this similar vibe, similar obstacle course, where you're going to get smooshed by all the moving parts if you don't go fast enough. And at the end, you get stuck into a big cup where boiling hot molten metal is going to be poured on top of you. And this is where it gets interesting. So you're in a group and you're split up. So half your group goes into the big boiling molten metal pot, and half of your group plays the role of R2-D2 and has to attempt to stop the molten metal from pouring on top of you. So I think it really brings people together by having, it just raises the stakes, you know, it's like an escape room where half of the group has to make sure that the other half of the group is not, you know, buried in molten metal. That's what happens in escape rooms, right? And I think it would really just tie the whole thing together. So that's the Geonosis experience, and that is the end of my suggestions.
Thank you for sharing these ideas with us. I enjoyed getting a window into your mind.
Your fiance is a lucky man. He's a lucky man. All right, I have some questions, as you can probably imagine. The Endor experience, is this going to be the kind of thing where they build, because you can only build up to a certain height before you have to put those red blinking lights so that airplanes don't crash. I don't know if folks know that. I believe it's Tower of Terror is built like 1 inch below the like minimum required height where you have to put a blinking light. It might be Cinderella's Castle. I don't know. One of the Disney things. Anyway, how are you envisioning building tree houses? Or is this going to be like an optical illusion where it's just like a two-story building?
Well, I was figuring if it was going to go into the same building that Galaxy's Edge had been, it would be more of an optical illusion. Yeah, you know, I don't think we need to commit that hard to realism. You know, Star Wars isn't real, so.
Because the height would offer an additional element of danger.
It would, and that does appeal to me.
Yeah.
As you can tell, the point is suffering. But honestly, I think that the legal issues might just be a bit too much to handle.
So with this one, you're worried about the legal issues. Got it. Okay, my next question. Do you think, because you mentioned that C-3PO is going to be in this,
yeah.
Do you think you can get Anthony Daniels to do this?
Well, you know how this is referencing another theme park experience, but how in the Harry Potter Universal rides, they got all the Harry Potter actors to like act out a little scene. Well, I think we could do that with Anthony Daniels, where he just needs to film it, perform it once, and then it would just be pre-recorded.
So you wouldn't actually want him there?
No. Please, I'm not a monster.
Okay. Okay, so the Endor experience, it sounds, I like the not, and I like that it's not freezing cold or like unhygienic with the salt. I like that. I like a forest environment. It also fits, you know, the biome is a little bit more aligned with Florida than Hoth. I mean, it's still not great, but it's closer. I guess my question on the Geonosis experience is, I guess just why and also like what? But I guess my biggest question is, why? But then I also want to know about the creatures. Are there good? Because gladiatorial fights, that's great,
right?
If it's like Roman Colosseum style, people on people. But the Romans, they also did animal on person. And famously in the Geonosis Arena, there are those Star Wars alien monster creatures that attack people and almost kill them. Would you have are they going to be fighting animatronics? Is it more of like the, you know, man is the most dangerous game where you fight other people. How does that work?
I think really it depends on the experience that you want to pay for. So base level animatronics. If you are into something a bit more like mano a mano, then, you know, if you're willing to pay for it, then we could do man-to-man combat. I think that there could be a good price for that. I could see it.
What is the movie, I mean, there's many on this concept, but like where like people are like kidnapped and brought to like some billionaire's private island to be hunted for sport. This just feels a little too close to that, like paying customers, being allowed to fight each other in this particular kind of setting. It just feels problematic to me. How would you deal with the PR aspects of that?
Well, I wouldn't. These are just my ideas. I'm just offering free ideas. Whether they take them up is up to them. But I will say this. There are people out there, and it is not my position to judge, but I do think there are people out there who would be interested in this experience. And I think that they should have the opportunity to live their dreams. Really, that's what I'm about. I'm about people living their dreams. And I think so is Disney.
I think she just answered that PR question for you, yeah. Eric. But I do, there is another company that has established a really effective and great precedent here where you just respond to every press inquiry with a poop emoji. I think you could easily do something like that.
That's true.
For questions about the Geonosis experience.
And you would definitely get a lot of questions, so you would have to really be fast on that poop emoji reply. My only other question, and I guess you could solve some of this by just having everybody sign waivers. Nobody reads the waivers. So the factory setting, right, the obstacle course or whatever, do you get... Is it kind of like a video game where you have like extra lives and it's like, oh, like the molten material like would be pouring on you right now, but like you get another life, so let's put you back at the beginning and try again.
Well, does real life work that way? Do we get to restart in real life?
So you're really about teaching people lessons in this experience. It's like you want them to understand the cruelty and capriciousness of life.
And not just that, they have to understand that they're relying on their friends to save them. Really, it's a trust exercise. Do you trust your friends to be able to prevent this from happening to you? I hope you do, because otherwise, it's not a video game. You can't start over.
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to withhold judgment on these for now until we talk to the lawyers. Haley, can you rescue us from this this den of dismay and despair that Grace has thrust us into?
I will try. I think I did the least amount of prep, but I also think I have the best ideas. So, but I also am totally untethered from reality in terms of like physical space. I have not been to Disney in a very long time, and like my ideas do not have any understanding of how large this like building would have to be to make them work. So, but
well, that's
one
fine
because
we haven't had any experience with being untethered from reality so far in this episode. So it'll be nice to really go wild with it.
Just a caveat. So I have not experienced Epcot as an adult or as someone who can remember it, but I have seen my friends' Instagram posts when they go there and they have a day of like traveling around the fake world and drinking. And it seems fun. I think it should be like Epcot, but for like Star Wars locations, so you can like go to like Anakin's, like the Tatooine market, and like there's like food there, and there's like, I don't know, Watto is there, and that like, I don't know, you can, and then you can go to another location and there's also food there, and it's a different kind of food. I think this one would hit all the right notes personally. It would take less logistics than Eric's idea, but it would also involve food, which I think is the most important thing. But like learning about Galaxy's Edge, I realized this might not go with the theme. Apparently Galaxy's Edge, everything is in like one fictional place. So I don't know. They might have to nix it because it doesn't go with the theme. I don't know. Eric, do you have any thoughts on the logistics of that?
I mean, it's definitely not any more out of theme than what we just heard from Grace, right? So you're not like you have not cleared the bar that Grace has set of being disconnected from the starting premise of this episode, which I realize I'm the only one who did the homework for, but that's fine. Your answers are better than mine, interestingly, so it makes up for it. I think this is a great idea and could be done with a certain conceit, which is you're here on the planet Batuu, it's on the outer rim, it's far from known, you know, from the center of the galaxy, but what they've done is they've created a big, like, food court, basically, where you can go around and sample the cuisines of these planets that you've heard of or you've been to or whatever. So they kind of recreated little corners of those planets for you to visit. So it's basically the actual in-universe equivalent of the Epcot theme park, where it's like you are actually going there knowing that these are just recreations. I don't know. Yes, go ahead.
I figured out how to do it. Between each like area, you have to get onto a like a fake ship and like go to hyperspace.
Incredible.
And like travel to your next location for like, I don't know, a 2-minute ride or something.
So what, you've only really given us one location, which is the Tatooine Market. And I like that you put Watto there. I like that Watto, even though he doesn't sell food, is just there. And what
he's there to like be mean to you while you're...
you paid too much for this experience. Get out of here.
So like you would obviously have like Coruscant, and to me that like that speaks noodles of some kind.
Oh sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And then I just really enjoyed the Force Awakens bread. So
yeah, obviously.
I don't know if you get to like interact with Unkar Plutt and like, isn't that his name with
yeah.
the one quarter portion? I think that would be fun to get to like bargain for your quarter portion of blue space bread and maybe potentially other food items.
There could be a mini game where you have to scavenge things and you bring it to him and he decides like how much food to give you.
I think it's, I mean, so just because I haven't thought of all the locations doesn't mean it's not the best idea.
Okay.
I actually really like this.
Thank you. There's other locations in Star Wars too, and I'm just blanking on them because I can't remember the best food items in Star Wars that appeal to me the most. Oh, the one that I want is also Tatooine. They should have the like the lizard thing that Obi-Wan like was mining every day. They should have that
yes.
there too.
Yes. The satisfying weird desert sushi.
Yeah.
I think that you should also have a Naboo section
of
where
course.
Someone
yes.
cuts a pear for
yes.
you and then they, like put it on a wire and float it across the room to you.
That's gonna be the proposal room. So that's where
yes.
a couple goes, and that's how the proposal happens, is you float the pear over, but then what's that in the middle of the pear? Oh my god, is that a ring?
Okay, my next idea, and this is the one I'm most serious about, because I think, like, as a child, I would have been all about this, and today's current children would also really enjoy this, as well as, like, adults. So, except baby, like, toddlers and babies cannot participate, but they should turn it into a giant laser tag arena of some kind, where, and, like, it's hard to do with lightsabers, so I'm thinking just blasters. And you have to play against professional dark side bad guys, like First Order people. Like there's some kind of violence going on, and there's like a fun, like, I don't know, obstacle course of some kind, and there's like props and stuff, and you get to hide behind like boulders and things, and you get to do like a fun laser tag experience. And this one's easy in terms of logistics, because people all over this country manage laser tag arenas, and I think they do a good job. They've got it pretty much down to a science. So they would just have to hire a laser tag expert to figure this one out.
I also really love this idea because I freaking love laser tag. And so, first of all, just on that note, absolute winner to me. But I do think that this could be a really fun idea, particularly if you are pretending to be the rebels and you are having to avoid and or attack stormtroopers. I think that there is a way to actually make this incorporated into a narrative that would work. And on a totally unironic note, I think this is a really cool idea.
Yeah, what's great about it is that the other two experiences at Galaxy's Edge, the Millennium Falcon ride and Rise of the Resistance, are both like, there's a little bit of walking and exploring, but it's mostly you're sitting down and it's a spaceship thing. Or it's like a little ground car inside of a spaceship. This would be like straight up like ground action adventure, like combat. Like this would be a physically different experience. It would also allow you to be moving, like moving your body in a way that you don't on the other two. But unlike my idea, where you have the problem of how do you get people following the story, this doesn't necessarily have a really strong, heavy-handed story, right? There's a big story that you can explain as the reason for the battle. But once you get in there, you're just having a battle. And who's not going to want to just do what they're supposed to do in a laser tag arena, which is play laser tag? Nobody gets in there and says, maybe I'll just like sit on the sidelines. So that would be great. Haley, you have something in our notes here next to this one that you didn't say, and I just want to maybe interrogate this a little bit, because what you wrote was, I realized this one probably has some liability concerns or something. Why don't you just expand on that a little bit? What liability concerns are you imagining here?
What if the guests get too, like, they enjoy it too much, they get too violent, and then, like, your employees are at risk? I think that's what I'm, and, but there's also, like, secondary, like, laser tag arenas are generally dark, and so, like, I feel like you have to sign a waiver when you do, I haven't done laser tag in a long time. I should, because it's
first of
fun.
All, we should all do laser tag together.
We should. I need to research the, like, laser tag here, because I haven't been in the DC area. But it's dark, like, it's easy to get a scraped knee of some kind, or like break your wrist, and so I think in, like you mentioned, the other experiences do not quite have that level of physical danger involved, so yes, I do think there are some liability concerns, but I also think it would be very fun. So
I like the idea when you said, like, people, the guests might get too violent. I like the idea because it's laser tag, so you're just shooting fake lasers at each other, but I like the idea that, like, the guests, like, are like, no, like, the, like, they're losing the battle, right? Like, the Disney cast members are, like, beating them or whatever, because they're just, they're not really good. And so they just get, no, the resistance can't lose. We must defeat. And so they just, like, run up to them and start bashing them with the guns, like,
right.
Fight to the last breath, like, getting way too into it.
They would have to be, like, really lightweight blasters, or, like, I don't
foam
know.
Blasters. We're foam. Talking foam blasters.
We're talking foam.
Like in the John Wick movies, when John Wick runs out of ammo and then he throws the gun at someone's head. I think that I'm feeling that here. I'm feeling right. Like that could be an issue here.
Yeah, I think it's a genuine concern. Just I'm just, look, I know the American public, and it is a thing to think about, how to mitigate that kind of situation.
I'm definitely on board. So,
Haley, I really want to ask you about this last idea, though, that you have in the notes. I'm so excited to hear you describe it.
It's a bad idea. This one I wrote like 2 minutes before we started recording. And again, this goes back to me not understanding how big the building is.
I love this. First of all, before you say it, I just love the idea of trying to do this.
So in my mind, this is a really, really large, this is a really large building, and this is Disney. They have Imagineers, and they can make the movie magic work, and make it work for people in real life. And so I think, I'm so sorry, I'm in a silly, goofy mood. They should turn it into the Imperial Senate building. And yes. You can go on, like, those little pods where the senators go, and, like, you go out into the middle, and, like, maybe you could give a speech, but you could also just, like, you could watch the actors give speeches about democracy, which, again, I'm sure this wouldn't rub anyone the wrong way in the state of Florida right now, but I think it would be a great idea to have a political arena of some kind where Disney actors can talk about democracy and fascism and those kinds of topics. The only downside, other than the logistics and making the pods float, is that it's not particularly fun for children, and that's what the theme park experience is mostly about. This would not really be fun for anyone.
I think it would be so fun.
Anyone except for me and Grace and Eric. But I think they should do it. I think they should just go for it.
I think, you know, if people really want to have the kind of action-y, adventure-y element to it, so half the time it's like what we want, where it's a bunch of people on floating pods giving speeches about democracy, the I love democracy speech that Palpatine gives. And then they transform it so it turns into the arena that Palps and Yoda fight in Revenge of the Sith. And again, this would involve a lot of logistics, but I believe in the Imagineers. And so then the patrons have to dodge the pods hurtling towards them. Kind of like an obstacle course. I think there could really be something here for everyone.
And there's also a cackling old man who's shooting lightning at you, jumping around and shooting lightning at you. If you're an Imagineer, please, and you're listening to this episode, please email us your thoughts. We would love to know what you think of all these ideas. I cannot imagine being an Imagineer and listening to this and trying to think about how you might actually do this, because I like
that's why you're not an Imagineer.
I mean, clearly, but Haley, when you said, like, you know, you can do the movie magic and fit this Senate chamber inside the building, I'm picturing, like, do you think that they can just build a TARDIS? Like, it's not like there's a physical space constraint. I mean, there's only so much. They're not actual magicians.
So, like, optical illusions.
Oh,
mirrors?
Maybe like mirror. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Phantom of the Opera stuff.
Right. I feel like they can do it. And also, Eric, you're saying like you're not thinking like an Imagineer, but your idea was the most Imagineer like level.
Okay. Again, I just have to clarify for the Hot Takes listeners. My idea is the only one that could physically and legally be created in the state of Florida by the Walt Disney Company. So just to be clear about that. But I like your idea mostly because I'm imagining the cast members who, again, are signing up to work on a Star Wars immersive experience, and they get their scripts, and it's like 10 pages of Tony Gilroy, like, political monologue. And do they get to even choose their... Haley, do they even get to choose their topic? Can they choose what to make a speech about?
I'm sure when you're, like, applying to be a cast member or, like, to play one of these parts, you could specify your preference. But I'm not sure how Disney like doles out. I'm sure it's very competitive if you're going to get to be a bad guy or a good guy. Because there's got to be bad guys giving speeches too. Like you
That's
need
right.
like the Jar Jar Binks giving away emergency powers kind of speech.
Oh, is Jar Jar there, by the way?
I personally, as you can tell, I keep gravitating to the prequel era.
Yeah.
It should just be, yeah, it should be like right before the Republic falls. It should be set in that time period.
Okay, so first of all, I love the idea of like the cast members all competing to give the like the Clone Wars speech or like the fighting smugglers speech, but then like there's that tax policy speech that's lurking out there and like none of them wants it, but somebody's gonna end up with it. But second, I don't know if you ever watched any of the Star Trek TV shows. But
yes.
The finale of Star Trek Enterprise, I think it was like very unpopular because it was like, I really hope I'm getting this right. I think what happened is it's revealed that it's the Star Trek The Next Generation characters watching like a holodeck recreation of the founding of the Federation or whatever.
Oh my goodness.
So Grace, do you know what I'm talking about?
I never finished Enterprise.
Okay.
I thought it was boring.
Spoiler alert for Enterprise, but I'm pretty sure that the last episode is like they're creating the Federation, and then the very last scene is like you see that actually it's the characters from Next Gen who were watching all this in a holographic recreation of that famous moment from Star Trek history. So here's my idea. Again, trying to fit this into the Galaxy's Edge narrative, which is set in the sequel trilogy. You are in a Star Wars version of a holodeck, and you are watching an immersive 3D wraparound recreation of a prequel era Senate debate.
I just had an idea.
All right.
Okay. So it takes place in the sequel era, but now there's time travel. And so what it is someone from the sequel era has to go back in time and prevent Jar Jar from giving the speech that gives Palpatine emergency powers. So your whole purpose is to stop Jar Jar, like a stop baby Hitler thing.
But Grace, if you stop Jar Jar, you destroy the timeline of Star Wars, and then maybe you would never even be born to go back and stop Jar Jar.
It creates a new timeline.
Okay. I don't know how this is going to fit in. Disney has done a lot of work on canon, and I've been pretty critical of canon discrepancies, so you're going to have to work pretty hard to convince me of this.
Okay, relatedly, they could turn it into, like, the space between spaces from Rebels. And, like, that's how you get to your different places in my Epcot idea.
Oh, now, you want to talk ambitious. A world between worlds where you can actually go through a portal into other, like, theme park sets. Into a restaurant, Eric. Yeah, perfect. And it's, like, and it, so we could have all, guys, we could have all of our ideas. And they're just accessible from the world between worlds.
I think, okay, we solved it.
Yeah, I think we did it. And, you know, not to toot my own horn too much, but I really think that my suffering ideas are going to get a lot of traction here.
Yeah, and again, I just want to make clear, like, for legal purposes, I am not associating myself with anything that Grace has suggested, implied, requested. I'm a legally distinct entity from Grace Seegers, and I have no responsibility for anything that she says. So I just want to make that very clear for legal reasons. But Grace, your ideas are great and wonderful, and I hope they get implemented.
Before we actually end this episode, I need everyone to know that I'm not actually a psychopath.
That sounds like something that a psychopath would say.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that. All right, well, while we brace for the inevitable lawsuits from the Walt Disney Company, we are inviting you to tell us what you think of this episode. Of course, we want to thank you so much for listening. And if you do want to share your thoughts or suggest topics for future shows, perhaps a little bit more grounded, you can do that by emailing us at hothtakes@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at hothtakes. I'm Eric Geller on Twitter. Grace is Grace_Seegers. And Haley is Birdnator. Speaking of Haley, she made our wonderful logo and banner art. I edited this episode, and I also put together our music. Although, again, for legal purposes, we do want to note that all Star Wars music and sound effects are the intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Please don't sue us, especially after this episode. You can find a complete archive of past Hoth Takes episodes on our website, which is hothtakes.wordpress.com. And if you like the show, for some reason, share it with a friend. You can find Hoth Takes on all the major podcasting platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Okay, we'll see you next time. May the Force be with you.